Good morning. Todd Zwillick here with you and with Femi Oke.
Good morning, everybody. Hello.
Joining you this morning. Good morning, Femi. Well, so much of what you can learn on the web depends on the policies and sometimes the whims of one company. Of course, that's Google. Google owns more than 60% of the search engine traffic market share, but the company has been coming under criticism in recent weeks for problems with the way some sites appear in those search results. It's not just straight popularity. Last week, Google announced a big change to how the system works, and that's causing some controversy all on its own. Joining us now to talk about it is our own digital editor, Jim Colgan. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Todd.
Now, first off, what did Google change? I thought just you Google a search term, you Google Jim Colgan, the most popular sites come up, that's it. What did they change?
Well, they have a formula for what sites come up first. And what they've done is they've changed that formula to change which sites come up at the top. Because obviously the top of a search results page is the most coveted place. And they've been coming under criticism for the rise of what people call content farms. Now, they're sites that have a lot of content based around popular searches, but they're not very deep in the content. They're very shallow, and they're what Google even calls low quality. So now when the idea is that with this change, that when you search for things, like if you're searching how to play a musical instrument or cooking or something, that those sites won't come up as much, that you'll get sites that have more in-depth and they have more authority to them.
What's the purpose of a content farm? Why do these sites even exist?
Well, they exist to make money. They're businesses. But how they do that is they try and game Google to write articles that that really relate to what people are searching for. So they'll have their own algorithms to find out what people are searching for. Then they'll commission articles based on that data so that they'll come up the most in searches and so that they can charge a lot more for their ads. So this is in a way to change that. And you probably see that when you search for it. There's a site called eHow.com that comes up a lot for this. That's owned by Demand Media, which made $1 million in the last quarter alone. And there's another site called Associated Content, which is now owned by Yahoo. So, Google actually makes changes to the algorithm all the time, but this is different because they're being so public about it, and it's affecting a whopping 12% of search queries.
So Google wants to get into the business now, or is going to be in the business of discerning between high quality and low quality websites. And that sounds to me like that's going to get dicey, because Google is going to start picking winners and losers about who rises to the top based on its own judgment.
Well, that's the question here. And I put that to the engineer at Google who's in charge of this. His name is Matt Cutts, and he's the head of Google's web spam team. And here's what he told me.
The idea is you want to try to spot sites that are maybe not as helpful. The sorts of things where, you know, people have a pretty intuitive sense of the content that they would appreciate or trust versus something that they can't necessarily trust.
So he's talking about trust and what's intuitively good content, but he was at pains to say that there's no human element in this. It's just an algorithm, which means it's a formula that a computer picks, so is in what Google says it's neutral.
Right. So saying Google's not actually picking the winners and losers, they just invent the algorithm and their judgments are off of it at this point.
Exactly. That they're not saying, you know, they don't have an editorial role, that it's still a computer based on a formula.
All right. Well, who is suffering because of these content farms? Obviously, Demand Media, these types of, if they get more traffic, they can sell advertising, they can make more money. But that's almost the free market of the internet. Who's losing?
Well, there is a lot at stake here. You know, they have a lot of money riding on this. And there has been some data. This only happened on Thursday, but people have already been furiously looking at what the change to the traffic has been. And interestingly, Demand Media has not really suffered. In fact, in some ways, it even gained. But Associated Content, which has more sort of user-generated content, that has taken a big hit. And Associated was actually bought by Google last year for more than $100 million.
So why is it? Is it just market share that makes Google the one who gets to decide all of this? Does anybody have to go into partnership with them, or is it just because they own 60% of search traffic?
It's just because they are the dominant search engine market. Yahoo is next with 16%, and then Bing is close to that at 12% as of last year. And they're the one to game because they have the most impact. That's why they're the dominant player. But I asked someone about this, about, you know, what happens when Google has that power. He's Siva Vaidyanathan. He's the author of a new book out called The Googleization of Everything, and here's what he told me.
Google is and has for a long time been the Caesar of the web. It runs the web. It is the government of the web. We didn't elect it, but we selected it through our market choices.
So Google being the Caesar and the government. I mean, that's the kind of power that he's saying they have.
Now, speaking of the government, the part of this that reminds me of my own world, the political world, is the story of former Senator Rick Santorum, Republican from Pennsylvania. Now, he is a conservative Republican, Jim. You're nodding your head. I know you know who he is. He wants to run for president. He used to be a senator, but he has run afoul of gay activists because he is anti-gay marriage and they think homophobic. Now, if you search the word Santorum on Google, what you get rising to the top of the search terms is a very sexually explicit, very disparaging portrayal of Rick Santorum. And he has acknowledged that he has what is now called a Google problem.
I know. And I don't even want to say what comes up when you Google Rick Santorum or even just Santorum. It's even worse. But that just shows the power of Google, too, and the power that people have to manipulate Google. And in this case, it was Dan Savage, the sex columnist, who wanted to respond to his, you know, to what Rick Santorum had said about people who are gay. And he did it by creating this website, calling it Rick Santorum, doing all the things that cause a site to rise and getting a lot of people to link to it. But I think a lot of this is going to change in the future. As you'll notice, Google is embracing something called personalized and even social search, which means that you'll see a lot more things coming up in your rankings that are based on your friends' recommendations. And no one can really game that in the same way.
And it also makes you wonder maybe why Rick Santorum doesn't fight back on Google.
Exactly.
All right, Jim Colgan is Takeaway's digital editor. Jim, thanks so much. As always, we want to know what you think. Call us at 8778-MYTAKE. And of course, you can get on the internet. We're at thetakeaway.org. We're also on Facebook. Get in touch with us.